personally. I hear that it's healthy to stroke your dongle on a daily basis. You know, some might see a dongle and think, I shouldn't touch that, but admit it, it feels so good. Hey, everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we are back. I don't know why I did that. That was stupid. We're back because I can click. Haha, bitch, you can't, or maybe you can. And if you, wait, now I feel bad. What if you have no hands? Oh, no, this is terrible. Okay, let's wind that back. Hey, what's up? It's me, a completely PC host who can't be canceled, Dangerous ASMR. And we're back for some reason for another Drunk and Dangerous. I know why. It's High and Dangerous. And yesterday, well, no, today, but yesterday for you, if you're listening to this when I put it out, and you better, did you wait? Why did you wait? Okay, anyway, when I'm recording this, it's 4:20, because if you couldn't tell, you can, obviously. What the fuck is this intro? I am extraordinarily high, celebrating 4:20 the way our founders intended. God bless George Washington and his prodigious use of marijuana. Historically accurate, don't look it up, but entirely 100% factual, I am sure. He came to me, you know, after smoking many joints. He said, come, Dangerous, tell them how much I love the marijuanas. And I said, yes, George Washington, inhabiting the body of a raccoon, I will. And then he bit my face. And on that note, I am feeling as saucy as that George Washington raccoon, and I am going to read to you. Honestly, I can't even tell you. I can't even describe, because I don't know if there exists in the human language, any language, that is say, the human language, the language of all mankind, that has existed and ever will exist, to describe the horrors therein of this fiction that I intend to read. Now, you might be saying, come on, Dangerous, you're being ridiculous. How bad, how cringy can a fan fiction really be? Now, you're also probably like, bitch, I know, I've seen fan fiction before, but shh, pretend you can't, you're skeptical. How bad could it really be? But oh, it can be bad. So I probably write this in the description. You're like, you wrote in the description what it was, so I'm not impressed. And I'm not going to, so haha, you had to wait. Anyway, or unless you were on Discord and I talked about it, but you wouldn't be on Discord. Anyway, I am going to be reading to you by suggestion off Discord. We were talking about, you know, what would be a good 420 theme this time around. And somebody brought up Supernatural fan fiction, because I'm like, I want to read bad fan fiction. They said Supernatural. It's like, how about, you know, like bad fandoms? And I was searching for Supernatural fan fiction on Wattpad. And when kind of browsing through, I came across this very interesting crossover that happened to combine multiple fandoms in one. And it sounds so very intriguing that I just decided I had to read it for you all, and make you all suffer with me on this, the belated 420 Drunk and Dangerous. So, without further ado, let me tell you the title of our story today is The Adventures of Diapered Dean and Friends. And here is how it goes. The description is as follows. What happens when Dean gets de-aged by a mysterious monster? Why, a Super Hulock crossover, of course. Join Sherlock, John, Levin, Sammy, and Dean as they try to find a cure. Hilarity and misunderstandings ensure. Protective. Everyone. Sassy Dean and copious amounts of fluff. So, there are three parts to this. There's the prologue. So, I guess we'll start with the prologue. I didn't know you could spell prologue that way, but I much prefer proluge. It sounds very European. Proluge. And of course, no hate to the author. You know, we've all written cringe before. Bless you on this day for giving us this years-old story that you wrote. I'm sure you've gone on to bigger and brighter things. Or maybe this is the best story you've ever written, in which case, you know, good job. I never wrote a story about Diaper Dean and Friends. Who's to say I could even do it? Who's to say I can even read it? I'm not sure. Let's go. Proluge. Sam and Dean leaned against the Impala, finishing off their bottles of beer. I hope they're not planning to drive, because that's extremely reckless. They were across the street from the building they were supposed to be investigating at Alcoholics, watching it carefully, as if it would change its appearance at any moment. I mean, would it? Does that happen on this show? I don't know. The building certainly didn't look like it was harboring any monsters. In fact, it looked like it might contain a few fluffy unicorns who live on clouds and eat chocolate all day. What the fuck does this house look like? Is it like a fucking candy house? Like a witch's cottage from a fairy tale? What would a house look like to go, you know what? That might contain some fluffy unicorns that eat chocolate for like to survive. Which how does that even, that had to be created in a lab. Like, okay, so maybe COVID was or was not leaked out of a lab. That's not the important part. My question is, which labs are making these unicorns that live off of chocolate? Because you just glued a horn to a horse's head and you're just trying to feed it chocolate all day. That's not healthy. That's not good for horses, so I hear. I mean, I'm no animal doctor. I'm no horse magician, but I don't think that's healthy. Let's see. Anyway, they apparently were staking out like Mrs. Happy Unicorn Fluffy Cotton Candy House. But that's what they get for trusting Garth to find them a case. All I can think is, like, Garth Brooks. It's a perfectly legitimate name, but that's what I would think every time. A place that looks like it was designed for cuddly teddy bears to give out cookies in. What? They're training teddy bears to give out cookies? So wait. So are these bears, like, alive? You have basically, you've given a soul to a teddy bear, and you're forcing it to give out cookies? What if it has dreams? It's a, you're using your powers for bad. Don't force those teddy bears into labor. Jesus, they didn't want to fuck, it's like the elves, the Keebler elves. You know those fuckers are going to riot one day. You know, burn the whole plantation down. You see that? They live in a fucking tree. Poor bastards. Anyway, I'm going off on a whole tangent. Fucking poor teddy bears. Dean stayed silent, placing his empty bottle on the hood of the car. It's rude. He continued staring at the building, thinking, maybe they had tracked it wrong. This definitely couldn't be the place that some big, scary monster chose to make its home. Why? Don't judge a book by its cover. I don't even understand what this building looks like. It better be adorable as fuck, or I'm going to be extremely disappointed. If you show up in just some regular house, I'm not going to show up to even a regular nice-looking house and be like, oh, dude, unicorns live here for sure. I feel like you're overselling how adorable this house is, and, like, I'm just disappointed in advance. Let's see. What monster... It was a preschool. What kind of monster lives in a preschool? Like pedophiles? Like, I'm sorry. Do you not read the news? Like, it's a bad thing that happens to people. Like, you know what he would be like? He'd be on a jury and they'd be like, yeah, I was stabbed by my dad. And they'd be like, well, that wouldn't happen. A dad loves their kids. That guy must be lying, not guilty. Like, what the hell, dude? Maybe consider more than just, like, the exterior possible cause. God, Dean. Sam squinted his eyes, the sun beating down and making sweat appear on his forehead. No, the sun is not responsible for the sweat. The heat may... Okay. Yes. Sweat is magically brought upon you by the sun. The sun waved its magic wand and said, sweat appear. That's how it happens. That's how it works. Sam and Dean, who let them out of their special home to do, maybe they're the ones that go to the preschool, you know? They're like, that's our preschool. Who would ever, because, I mean, they're simple boys. They're simple boys. They mean well. They mean real well. A big scary monster wouldn't attack a preschool. Oh, the hot sun put sweat on my forehead again. Like, okay, sweetie, I know. You're very scary and tough. Oh, my God. He wondered what Dean was thinking about. Probably about how this place didn't look like it could house some terrible monster. Or boobs. He was probably thinking about boobs. Yeah, that sounds about right for you guys. No, quantum theory? No, boobs. Boobs and a monster wouldn't live in that nice looking house. Okay, sure. Their last name is Winchester, but it should be Slow. The Slow Brothers.
You ready?
That's his voice, Sam asked, tossing the bottle onto his seat. Much to Dean's distaste, and going to the trunk. Well, yeah, you tossed an empty beer bottle on your seat. I told you. Who is going to blow into the interlock now? Good job. You guys got wasted again. He's going to pay somebody, like, hey, I can't, like, let my probation officer find out I've been drinking again. Fucking down a beer right outside your car and then dump the empty inside. I mean, at least you're not littering, but Jesus, man. You think you might have a problem, and it's not supernatural. Stop. Get some help. Much of Dean's distaste, and going to the trunk, he propped it open, taking a shotgun full of salt rounds and the demon-killing knife. He handed Dean a gun full of silver bullets and an angel blade. Dude, Dean said as he slid the blade into the pocket of his jeans, what if none of these work? Sam sighed, closing the trunk and leaning against it for a moment before pushing himself back up to a standing position.
One will have to work,
he said, trying to convince himself.
It'll have to be weak to one of these things. Nothing I know can resist salt, silver, an angel blade, and Ruby's knife.
But that's a thing, Dean said, knowing it was unlike him to worry about such things but still feeling nervous.
We don't know what we're fighting.
Barry's very nervous.
This thing could have seven arms, two heads, and three ears. For all we know, it's possible that only cheese works against it.
They are very simple boys. I doubt that only cheese works against it, Dean, Sam mumbled. But he still understood what Dean meant. They had never encountered this kind of monster before. It didn't even have a name, as far as they knew. I'm sorry. It makes me think of, like, all those ads you'd see for law firms. And, like, that would be the monster, right? The monster's name would be, like, I don't know, whatever, like, disease you got from your vaginal mesh. Or whatever. Did you ever see those ads, vaginal mesh? It was like vaginal mesh that was used for like vaginal prolapse. The gym I went to had this news station on and that ad played all the time for like this vaginal prolapse mesh and like all the problems it caused. And so that makes me think like that's the monster. Like that's the face of the monster. It's vaginal mesh. And it just cracked me up. So I wanted to let you in on my interesting train of thought. Okay, let's continue. They started toward the preschool, both nervous about what they would encounter inside. The chance to hunt something new was rare, but that doesn't mean that they are keen to do it. They stood outside the preschool, hesitant to step in. At least it wasn't occupied at the moment. The teachers and children had been moved to a different location a week earlier, having not been wanting to be around ghosts and such. I mean, yes, I also have not been wanting to be around ghosts. Thank you. That made their job a lot easier. Now they wouldn't have to explain to anybody why they were running in, brandishing weapons and chanting in Latin. I mean, I hope you would, like, warn them instead of just running inside. Also, I know they just mean the knives that are there for killing demons, but I'm just picturing them, like, pulling out guns and threatening the children.
It's like, deus ex machina, motherfucker.
Just blast them all away. Dean pushed the door open, stepping in gingerly. He held the... Oh, he does have a gun. He held the gun up near his chest. I was fucking right. Fucking guns, man. Why do you even need to have guns? I thought you had demon-killing knives for that. Just in case there's a chance to shoot an onlooker and be like, haha, it was an accident, I swear. Wink, wink. He held the gun up near his chest, stepping in further, and, after looking around for a moment, signaled for Sam to follow him. Sam did as he was told. He always does. Looking around the dark room, he wondered why no lights were on. What? Everybody left 2 weeks ago, you just told us. Why would they leave the lights on? They're not adults. Tell me. These are not grown men. There's something happened to them. They both suffered traumatic brain injury from the last time they had one of these fucking super... Why aren't the lights on in this abandoned building? Gee, I don't know, Dean. Are we sure he even needs to change ages to wear a diaper? Are we sure he's even learned how to use the toilet? He's like, but where does the water go? What if it sucks me in? They're like, Dean, we've already talked about this. It's not a supernatural portal. It goes into the sewer. But the sewer is scary. I hear there are alligators out there. What if an alligator bites my bottom when I'm sitting on the toilet? Like by Dean Winchester. I swear. I feel like they should not be left out by themselves. And here we go. Here we are. Why are no lights on? Why did it always have to be dark when they were hunting something? Well, abandoned. Yeah. Couldn't they hunt something outside when it's all bright and sunny? They're monsters. They split up, Dean going to a room that looked like it was used primarily for painting, Sam entering a large bathroom. Sam pulled a small flashlight out of his pocket, turning it on and using it to get a better view of the area. He hoped to see something, anything, to prove that the monster was inhabiting the preschool. He didn't want to be in danger or anything, but if they found the monster, Dean would owe Sam $15. I wonder how much they can get at the home's commissary with $15. I bet he can buy a lot of like Play-Doh and colored pencils for that to use during art time. Dean had bet Sam that Sam had tracked it wrong, and now Sam really wanted his money. He looked around, going to the various stalls and opening them lightly, somewhat worried that the monster would jump out and attack his face. I would be too. He stopped moving when he heard something fall to the ground. He turned his head, staying silent, trying to identify where the noise came from. It didn't sound like it was in the bathroom with him. Slowly and quietly, he went over to the door, budging it open to look at the main area. He looked over, catching a gasp when he saw something moving. A gasp like flew by and was like, "Ah!" So he caught it. So the monster didn't hear it. He's like, don't let that gasp get away. So he goes, whoosh. He's got like supernatural reflexes. It wasn't Dean. No, it was a lot lower to the ground and longer than any human. Hey, don't diss on long people. We can't help it. He listened to it as it made a clicking sound, hoping Dean could hear it too. No, he's gone deaf. Dean, though, couldn't hear it. Oh, I guess he had gone deaf. He finished with the room he was examining and stepped out, thinking that he definitely won the bet. Nothing there, Sammy. Looks like I... Dean stopped abruptly. Sam sprung out of the bathroom just in time to see the monster carry Dean away. I told you shouldn't have left the home. Dean struggling to pull the blade out of his pocket and stab it. Sam ran after them, yelling at the monster and Dean, knowing it wouldn't help, but unable to stop. You should see a doctor about that. He followed them to a back room that contained boxes of food and other stuff necessary for children. I love that. I want to write a book called Boxes of Food and Other Stuff Necessary for Children. A Primer on Children by Dangerous ASMR. Buddy lost them there. Ask Dean. Dean's got all the diapers. They've got diapers and food. They're so lucky. Dean had been yelling back at Sam, albeit in a slightly whinier and more scared tone than normal. Well, yeah, because he's scared. I'm sorry. He's being carried by a monster and he's yelling in fear. And they're like, yeah. And he sounded like a scared little bitch, like a whiny little bitch. Like, damn, okay, I'm sorry. That's kind of harsh. I feel like I'd be a little scared, whiny bitch if a monster had me too. God fucking damn. Let people be scared bitches. Like, I'm starting the party with the right to be a scared little bitch. That needs to be a fucking stance we take. Guess what? We don't always have to be tough. Amen. Can we all just accept? Like, instead of doing the purge, where it's like you kill each other, it'd be the purge where you let, like, all your shitty emotions out and nobody gets to judge each other for the day. You know? Everybody can just be honest about who they are and everybody has to just kind of, like, let it happen. Get your emotional feelings out, you know? And then everybody be healthier for it. Because we could be honest. Of course, there'd probably be a lot of murders anyway because people would be honest and other people wouldn't take it well. But, you know, still, the idea is nice. It's about as likely to happen as the killing purge, but still. Anyway, so whiny little bitch, I remember. But it now stopped. Sam assumed he'd been knocked out. Are you sure he didn't just pass out from fear? Something that happened all too often in their line of work. See, I knew it. He'd been knocked out. It happens all the time. Traumatic brain injury. Their IQ used to be around normal level, but how many seasons is it now? Like, they're definitely, they're not all there. They're like football players, you know? You got brain shrinkage from trauma. It's happening. This is evidence right here. Sam maneuvered around the room carefully, knowing that there were multiple spots where the thing could hide. As he searched for it, he began to wonder how it had carried Dean off with its arms. He had only seen an outline of it in the dark, but it didn't seem as if it was big enough to carry a grown man around. And it hadn't dragged him either. He would have heard Dean's body being pulled across the ground if that were the case. Why does it fucking matter? It clearly has him. Sam looked up when he heard something from above him. He shined his flashlight at the sound, realizing it was coming from an air vent. He listened carefully, hearing not only the scuttle of the feet, which, to his surprise and fright, sounded a lot like a bug, but also the clicking sound he had heard before. It had to be the monster. Well, no fucking shit. What do you think, they just happened to have a giant centipede unrelated to the monster in the preschool? Like, oh yeah, we had a huge centipede that was killing kids, but then also a monster showed up. So, like, I was hoping they'd kill each other, but apparently they're friends now. I don't even understand. It's like, yes, it's the monster. Oh my God, they're so slow. I mean, I kind of love how dumb they are. It's enjoyable for that because they are just the dumbest. I can't imagine Dean becoming a child will make him stupider. If anything, maybe it will help his brain to heal from all those injuries he's had. Poor simple Dean and simple Sam. Oh, God. Okay. Sam ran to the vent, trying to open it before realizing that even if he did manage to open it, he would never fit inside. And so wouldn't Dean. I'm picturing a fucking vent 6 inches wide, and he's like, but wait, I know fit in there. Sam stood back, confused. If the thing was in the vent, then Dean must be somewhere else, seeing how the vent was far too small for him to fit in it. Are you sure, Sam? Are you sure he didn't just wish himself real small? Sam searched around the room, hoping the monster wouldn't come back out of the vent. Yeah, I bet he just lives there now. I bet he just lives in the vent now, Sam. He couldn't hear it anymore, though, and he assumed it had gone far away. Oh my God. Sam, you dumb, dumb boy. Far enough for Sam to not be able to hear him. Yes, he couldn't just be like, not making noise to trick you. And it worked. You don't give it a second thought, you sweet, slow boy. Dean? He called, knowing it was unlikely that his brother would respond. He continued looking. He probably forgets what his name is from time to time. He'll say, Dean? And he's just like, huh. Why wasn't Dean answering? Like, Dean, oh, Dean me! Yeah. He continued looking, eventually finding a light switch and flipping it on, blinking several times as he got used to it. The lights could be turned on the whole time. Oh my God, you sweet, simple boys. You didn't just flick the light switch when you came in. Oh my good God. Oh, they're gonna die. They should not have left the home. They were not prepared for this. Blinking several times as he got used to it, Dean, he called again, nervous, clearly whining like a bitch. He looked around the building for hours. How big is the building? For hours? Were you in a fucking super Walmart? How'd it take you hours to search a preschool? For hours. You don't search it for hours. You probably look for like 10 minutes and be like, he's not here. Would you like start breaking the walls apart? Wondering where the hell his brother could be. Hours. I'm calling bullshit. You didn't even call for reinforcements. You're like, no, I'd better spend the next 2 hours looking through this fucking 3,000 square foot building. I'm not going to let this get to me. Cass wouldn't have poofed him without telling Sam. And Dean couldn't disappear on his own. He couldn't have just left the building. Is he incapable of... He considered the monster for a moment, wondering if maybe it had found a way to get Dean into the vent, but quickly dismissed it as impossible due to the vent's small size. I'm sorry, if you have, like, a fucking friendo who can poof you, you're saying, but it's impossible for the monster to take somebody into a too small vent? I call bullshit. Like, the rules of your reality are clearly fluid. Like, I bet there is a thing that could get him into that vent. Like... obviously, you know. He was pretty sure the only person who could fit in there would have to be a baby. Okay. After several hours of looking around, we know! Were they more hours on top of the initial hours? He gave up the hope that Dean was in the building. He would have to search for him elsewhere. Am I the only one that realizes how absolutely insane that idea is? Spending hours searching a regular-sized building? It does not take that long. Unless he thought his brother is purposefully hiding. Why would you continue to search? Why wouldn't you look elsewhere? Like, he's a grown man. If he's in the building, he's gonna tell you. You know? Or he's dead in the building. Maybe he got chopped up and put in the vents. Probably not. But it's possible. He would have to search for him elsewhere. Angry? Is he angry at himself for just searching for that long? He drove to the motel that they were staying at and stormed into the room. There was no sign that Dean had returned to the room, so Sam sent over to the computer. Okay, that makes more sense. And searched the local morgues for a John Doe that matched the description of his brother? He's been gone for a few hours. Why don't you call the hospitals? Why are you searching the morgue records already? You're not even talking to your friends. You're just like, well, I bet he's dead. I bet he was found and given to the morgue literally immediately. What? How many hours was he at that house to think that his body would have been discovered elsewhere and brought to the morgue? That is so nonsensical to me. But yeah, he was relieved because the dumbest boy alive thought, phew, okay, if he's not in the morgue in the 3 hours since I last saw him, he's definitely alive. Oh my God. With a sigh of relief, Sam turned away from the computer, glad that nobody in the area had found anyone that looked like Dean. Yep, it's all good now. He sat on his bed, thinking for a moment. Are we sure? Dean would have contacted him by now if he could, meaning that he was unable to. The thought of Dean being tied up sent shivers down Sam's spine. Even though he should be used to it by now. He laid back on the bed for a second, contemplating what to do. Maybe check the morgue again. He knew that it would be extremely hard to find Dean. That sounds like too much work. Give up and watch TV. Seeing how he hadn't found him already, and that it would be even harder to find him alone. He considered calling Castiel, but he knew that he was busy in heaven with his faction or something. Then he remembered. He took his phone out and scrolled through the contacts, finding the name of the man he wanted to call. He clicked the green button, his phone ringing as it tried to reach the doctor. This is where... the crossover begins and we continue into chapter one. Give me a moment to take a hit. To try and, that was the prologue. So that's really, it's very promising so far. Sam and Dean are dumb as bricks, so hopefully they called the doctor. Now, I like to think the doctor they're calling is the one that helps them for their, you know, mental problems since the accident. But no, it's the crossover, and so we're all going to suffer together doing this 420 right. Okay. Chapter one. I hope you're all ready for this. No, we're not. None of us are. Sherlock! John called angrily, unsure of what his friend was up to. Yes, hon? Sherlock called back as something fell to the ground with a big bang. You see? This is why everyone thinks we're gay, John thought to himself before yelling, come here. Wow, he sounds homophobic. Is he really that worried about everyone thinking you're gay? Like, why do you give a fuck, dude? Who cares if they think you're gay? Let him think that you're gay. Yeah, Sherlock asked, popping his head around the corner and looking into the room that John was standing in. Oh, Sherlock said, running in. John noticed that he was wearing oven mitts and boots for some reason. Don't wear your shoes in the house. Seriously, it's common sense. Don't bring that dirt inside. How could you, Sherlock? You know, just do your opium cleanly, please. Sherlock leaped at the mouse, missing it by a few inches. How had it escaped its cage? The lid was secured tightly-ish. That's probably why, if it's tightly-ish. Well, now that Sherlock was thinking about it, had he even put the lid on the cage? No, he must have forgotten or just not have wanted to. No, my friend, it's the drugs. If you're writing the character correctly, it is the drugs. Sorry, he called out, crawling on the ground as he tried to catch the rodent. He knew John had some big irrational fear of mice, and he didn't want John to sleep at a hotel. If John left, that would mean that Sherlock's experiments on him at night would have to stop. For some reason, when he told people he did experiments on John, they always thought he meant something sexual. It was odd that people would think that, at least in Sherlock's opinion. No, because if you're doing something to someone while they're asleep, something like sexual is probably one of the more normal things you could do. Running medical experiments on people in their sleep is kind of like Hitler-esque. So, like, maybe don't do that. I gotta say, I feel like I would, I'd move out if I found out my roommate was doing, like, science experiments on me while I sleep. Like, oh, my hair is falling out. And they'd be like, oh, shit, so formula B is a no? Okay, let's see. For the past week, he had been testing the human's attraction to food by placing two items on either side of John while he slept, one a food item and the other one a candle, and writing down which one John turned toward. Well, if I'm sleeping, I'm turning away from the light, because it's annoying. Ouch, Sherlock mumbled when he hit a table. I mean, did Sherlock really not think about that? His attraction to food? He's asleep. And light is annoying when you're asleep. Oh my good fucking God, Sherlock, really? That's not an experiment. You're not... Okay, whatever. Sure. Apparently that's the smartest you get in this universe. I love the idea that Sherlock is this dumb, thinking, ha-ha, look at my clever plans, I'm so above you all. And it's just like, does he like candle or donut? Like, what the fucking shit? Get a life. Could you imagine if you had a weird roommate that really did that? Like, you find out you're like, stop leaving your shit on my nightstand, dude. What the fuck? Like, this is weird. Why do I keep, like, stop putting shit over here? What the fucking shit? He sounds like such a, okay. Ouch, Sherlock mumbled when he hit a table, causing an empty beaker to fall on his head. Suri, he called again, hoping the mouse would reveal itself soon. Mice aren't like dogs, John said from his new position on a chair, his legs pulled up so that the mouse had absolutely no chance of touching him. I hope it jumps. It won't respond to its name. Are you sure? Sherlock asked, noticing that the oven mitts and boots were getting in his way. After taking them off quickly, he called again, Suri! That's when Sherlock's cell rang. He quickly fished it out of his pocket and held it up to his ear. Sherlock, we need you immediately, Lestrade said in a rush, as if he was out of breath. Don't call them, he heard Donovan protesting in the background. They won't. Donovan's voice was cut off by high-pitched screaming. Confused, Sherlock asked, is she okay? That's not Donovan, Lestrade sighed. Sherlock looked down at his phone as it began beeping, meaning that Lestrade had hung up. No one cares about any of this. Who is that? John asked from his awkward position on the chair. He now looked like he was an animal ready to pounce down from a tree. Why is he like a cat in the chair? I'm picturing him like arching his back up like a cat for some fucking reason. Why is he jumping like a monkey from a tree? Lestrade, Sherlock said, pushing himself up. What did he need? John asked, not moving. I have no idea, Sherlock said. Now get down, you look idiotic. Fine, John mumbled, and after waiting a few seconds, hopped down and ran toward the door. Sherlock followed behind his companion at a quickened pace, grabbing his coat and putting it on. Suri would find its way to its cage. It was a saying, wasn't it? All mice find their way home. Is that a saying? I've never heard that. Stop making fetch happen. It's not going to happen. Sherlock opened the door for John, who raced out quickly, hoping to get as far as possible from the rat-infested flat. Okay, it was one mouse, but who knew? It could be pregnant and have little mouse babies. Ew. He's a 13-year-old girl. As Sherlock was about to close the door, he heard a squeaking sound beside his foot. He looked down just in time to get a glimpse at Suri as it escaped into the stairwell. Better not tell John or Miss Hudson, he decided, before racing to catch up with the ex-soldier. They caught a cab outside, Sherlock paying the driver extra to drive faster. But does that really work? I feel like I speed anyway. Whatever was going down at Scotland Yard sounded like a big deal over the phone, and even though he knew that normal people had the tendency to overdramatize things, he was excited. He always knew something fun would happen when he heard screaming in the background. After what seemed like an eternity to Sherlock, the cab pulled to a stop, and John and Sherlock hopped out. They ran inside, pushing past people to get into the elevator. Sherlock pressed the button for Lestrade's floor, and the elevator began quickly. John could see Sherlock beaming with excitement. That worried him. The only things that seemed to excite Sherlock were murder and murder that looked like suicide, and even those only got a small smile from him as a reward for getting him hyped up. I mean, now my question is, does that also mean sexually? 'Cause it's a little worrying there. He's like, oh my God, I can only get it hard for murder. Seek therapy. As soon as they arrived at the correct floor, Sherlock jumped out and started toward Lestrade's office. He still wondered why he was so excited. Was it the drugs? It was definitely the drugs, happy 420. Nah, those would have worn off by now. The excitement left his features, though, when he opened the door to Lestrade's office. He tried to turn around before Lestrade could look up, but found himself trapped when John appeared behind him. Hey, Lestrade, John said from behind Sherlock, not able to fully see the room. Get in here now, Lestrade yelled. Sherlock stepped in slowly, John following confusedly. The sight before John was one that he hadn't been expecting. Lestrade was holding down a baby. Why, he's holding it down? Why are you holding the baby down? What is it, like trying to escape? As Donovan, oh, they gotta put its diaper on. Why? No, it's, that's disturbing. We're wandering into someone's fetish territory. Is it yours? If it is, you're welcome. Lestrade was holding down a baby as Donovan attempted to put something on its bottom. It doesn't fit, she said angrily, trying to ignore the consulting detective and his blogger. It said one size fits all. Bullshit! The diaper said one size fits all? I call fucking bullshit. Have you seen baby sizes and difference? A newborn is like 8 pounds. A fucking, like, 9-month-old baby's big as fuck compared to that. One size fits all. Okay, fake-ass diaper. Some bullshit one size fits all. Okay, sure. Okay, sure it does.
That's like, oh, it's closed for child. It says one size fits all. Oh, really? So if it's a 6-year-old and a 12-year-old, okay. Sure. One size fits all. Lestrade, you lion ass. Lestrade returned, hoping that he wasn't hurting the child as he used force to get it to stop moving. Well, if you call it using force, it sounds like you're hurting it. What the fucking shit? Don't use force on a baby. He had his hands cupped over either of the child's wrists, sometimes letting go of one wrist so that he could put a hand under the baby's head. When it tried to slam its head against the table, why is it trying to slam its head against the table? You know what? Dean is so used to head trauma, he's come to crave it. He, even as a baby, he's like, I'm not traumatized enough. He's trying to hit himself against. He's like, no, let me make myself stupid again. I can't stand the pain of this world. You're not doing that right, Sherlock mumbled. He's probably telling the baby. You got to aim the side. Sherlock mumbled, watching as the two imbeciles tried to do a fairly simple task and failed miserably. How would you know? Donovan asked, looking up. Her gaze at the two only lasted for a moment, though, before she returned to trying to put the diaper on the baby. Sherlock rolled his eyes, approaching the two. Give it here, he said. Lestrade moved out of the way, gesturing for Sherlock to take the reins. Donovan, though, wouldn't budge. I'm not letting you touch her, she said, stepping in front of the baby as if to protect it. Sherlock looked over her shoulder at the child. It's not a her, he said. Can't you tell by, I don't know, the thing dangling from his lower area? You, bitch, you are a human being. You do not know boy parts from girl parts. You do know babies have their genitals at birth, right? Like, you don't acquire them later. This bitch does not know that she didn't bother to sex the baby. She just was like, I didn't look at its genitals at all. Okay, you sound too desperate to prove you're not a pedo. Like, you can sex the baby in front of you. What the... Oh, my... This next part. Donovan sighed, realizing the man probably knew more about children than she did. You're so dumb, you don't know the difference between a baby boy and a baby girl. The problem is not your knowledge of children, my dear. You probably shouldn't be watching a dog, let alone a child, if you can't tell its gender from immediate look. Even a child can tell a baby's gender. Like, all right, yeah, he knows more about... Sherlock is so smart, he can tell a boy baby just by looking at its penis. Wow, Sherlock, you're amazing. Next you'll tell me if he likes the candle or the donut. Ha, he could tell the difference between a candle and a donut. This one's a candle, can't you tell? Donovan's like, wait, that's a penis? Is she even sure she's a girl? Has she checked? He had probably read about it or something. Yeah, that's probably it. Something cold and calculating, but she had never even watched one of those cute videos of babies trying pickles for the first time. She never wanted kids, having always found them gross and way too time-consuming. This has nothing to do with the fact that you can't tell the difference between a penis and a vagina. That is concerning to me. Very concerning. Like, the sex of that baby is... It's right there, my friend. John Lestrade and Donovan all watched with silent amusement as Sherlock approached the baby, tossing away the diaper Donovan had already tried to put on it and grabbing a new one. Sherlock looked down at the baby. It appeared to be around 2 or 3 years of age, and it's not a baby, it's a toddler. Why are you putting a diaper on it? Shouldn't it be potty trained? Baby? Well, no wonder you're holding it down. A kid that age can walk. What the fucking shit? A 2 to 3-year-old is not a baby. Why are you holding that child down? He can speak. What the fucking shit? I'd be like, are they molesting you? She couldn't tell that a 2-year-old with a penis was... Look how they describe this kid. Tell me how she couldn't tell that this was a boy. Okay, it appeared to be around 2 to 3 years of age with dirty blonde hair that spiked up in a mohawkish style. She didn't realize that was a boy child. And also the penis. Like,
It was completely naked. So it showed up naked and she still just didn't notice. That's... Okay. Sherlock noticing a small wound that he would have to look at later. The child was squirming around but not crying, a sign that to Sherlock meant he would get along with the kid. He can talk! What? A 2 to 3 year old can talk, like... I'm so confused at how old they think a 2 or 3 year old, like, acts. Sherlock quickly undid the Velcro part of the diaper, lifting the child's rear by grabbing his legs and pulling up, placing the back end of the diaper underneath it. Yes, we know how diapers are put on fucking babies. Like, you sure you put it on its butt? You need to tell us. He then took the straps and connected them with the front, completing what he felt to be a demonstration to the others as how to put on a diaper properly. Well, congratulations, Captain Asshole. Sherlock grabbed the child. I mean, like, you can't feel this superior for doing barely anything. Like, I would be more like, shit, you guys don't know how? Okay, let me show you. Not like, all right, you bunch of morons. This boy child is getting a diaper on. Ha 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 ha. Give me my Nobel Prize. Sherlock grabbed the child, lifting him from where he was lying on the desk and placing him on his hip before he turned to the others. He looked, what? Let him fucking walk. He's not a 9-month-old. He's like 2 years old. He's 3. Don't 3-year-olds go to preschool? Do they think they're crawling around? Talk to this child. What the fucking shit? Oh my God. I kind of wish you could just age him up like another 10 years and be like, he's 12. He looked over them, concerned with what could be causing the look of surprise on their faces. John gaped, looking in Sherlock's opinion even stupider than usual. God, he frightened him like such a fucking asshole. I mean, he's kind of an asshole, but he was never this much of an asshole. Yes, Sherlock asked as he placed his hand in front of the child, still staring at the three. He began to wiggle his fingers, hearing the kid giggle as he attempted to catch the moving fingers. Oh, no. Okay, so my assumption now, because this kid isn't even saying anything, and it's Dean Winchester, he really is just that dumb. He's just dumb. Like, maybe a normal 2-year-old wouldn't be like this, but he would. You know? He's not saying, like, what's going on, or where am I, or anything like that. He's just giggling with the total stranger, completely unaware, like Dean would do. That's just what he does. Inwardly smiling at the child's giggles as he outwardly seemed as if he couldn't care less. He knew it didn't seem much like his character to like children. Much like your character, yes. But something about them was so... what's the word? Innocent. Yeah, that's a real hard word to conjure up, huh, Sherlock? What's the word for innocent? Oh, yes, innocent. I used a big word today. I should reward myself with an extra piece of cake tonight. Well done, Sherlock. They haven't done anything with their lives that they would regret. How would you know? I don't know. Maybe babies are full of regret. Like being born. I'm pretty sure I regretted that for a while. It likes you, it. Okay, Lestrade said. I think Lestrade still isn't sure because he didn't overhear that it was a boy. And he's like, I don't know what to say now. Smiling when the kid abandoned the plan of catching Sherlock's fingers and instead took to trying to climb him, he tried to push up with his foot, but Sherlock shifted his hold on the kid and stopped him, restraining him yet not hurting him. Oh, Sherlock said, looking down at the toddler, I guess so. John, who had been silent with shock at the discovery of Sherlock's ease with the kid, spoke up. Lestrade, he said, as he continued staring at the two, why is this kid here anyways? Everyone turned their attention to the kid when it spoke instead of Lestrade. Monstra, he said, waving his arms.
Monstra! Monstra!
There, see, I'm giving a horrible little kid voice, and you're all welcome. Monster? Sherlock asked, setting the kid down on the floor.
Yeah!
It said, continuing to wave its arms.
A damn monstra!
Oh, see, he said damn. Oh, John said, surprised at what the kid said. We don't say that word. Damn's a no-no word. The kid stood up and toddled over to Donovan, tugging on her jeans. She looked down, disgust on her face. What does it want, she thought to herself. Ew, I'm going to get kitty germs.
Say out,
he said, still pulling on her.
Get sailed!
He can't say salt. That's not hard to say. Donovan backed away. Keep it away from me, she mumbled, ignoring whatever the kid told her to get.
Ah!
The kid said, tears in his eyes as if he was about to throw a fit.
Bitcha!
He said bitcha. You don't know how kids talk? Okay, I guess not.
We need sailed! You idiots need sailed!
It's bitch hyphen ah, so it's bitcha. What's up, bitches? This kid has a mouth on him, huh? Lestrade mused, giggling at its use of bitch, damn, and idiot. What was he saying? Sherlock asked, repeating what it had been going on about in his head. He wants salt?
Yeah, sailed! No!
He said, going over to a shelf and starting to climb it. No, John said when he saw what the kid was trying to do. He ran over and grabbed him, pulling him away from the shelf. The kid said, and started thrashing his legs and arms, trying to get away from John.
Let me go! Let me go! Monstra!
It screamed, attempting to kick John. I mean, you're a fucking adult, man. Like, try to explain things rationally. Everyone stayed silent for a moment, watching as the two fought. John, a trained soldier, eventually gave up, setting the kid down. I like the idea that he was punching it, but he's so weak he couldn't even manage. Sherlock bent down on one knee, matching the child's height. What's your name? He asked, marveling over the kid's large vocabulary.
I not tell you,
he said, huffing and turning away.
Where's Sam?
Sam, Lestrade asked. What's a Sam? Honestly, Sam. Like you can't figure out that's a name. Are you that dumb? Yeah, they are. They are.
Ah!
It repeated. Why not he? You said it was a boy. Whatever. A quick smile appeared on Sherlock's face, the kid's impatience at everyone.
Not Sam! 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 Ah, Sam! Just give moi paper!
I hate talking like this. Paper? Lestrade asked.
Paper!
He screamed angrily.
Paper and pencil! I hate it so much, oh my god.
He can't possibly write, John said. How old is he, Sherlock? He appears to be 2 to 3 years old, judging by the height and overall appearance, but his vocabulary far exceeds that of a normal child of the same age. I mean, I could talk like that by this time, but most normal kids can't. Of course, you're so smart. You know the difference between a candle and a donut, Sherlock said, watching the look of confusion on the kid's face.
Two or three,
the kid asked.
No, I'm 36. Can Brits not tell age?
Gosh, Lestrade mumbled. He sure can talk well for a three-year-old.
Fuck we drying, skip me, get me, get me,
the boy stammered, unable to get the full season out.
Give me paper.
I hate you. I'm going to fucking punch you upside the head, baby Dean. Get the kid paper, Sherlock said, skeptic that the kid could write. If anything, he could maybe do his alphabet, but not form whole sentences. Why do you give a fuck? John leaned over and grabbed a sheet of paper and a pen from Lestrade's desk, placing it in front of the child. He watched with disbelief as the kid picked up the pen and began to write, his handwriting sloppy but still legible. After a few minutes of silence as the kid wrote, the child handed the paper to Sherlock. Sherlock read it, not able to understand how a child of the kid's age could write so well. The note said the following. Get Sam. Also, why are you giants, or why am I small? He doesn't realize he's become a child. Is he unable to see himself? And also, where are my clothes, perverts? I feel like she raped me. The hot one over there, did she rape me? She could have just asked. I totally would have given her some of me. That is the weirdest thing to write ever. I feel like she raped me, but if she did, totally cool winky face. No, not totally cool. What the fucking shit? What the hell is with your attitude? You're being sexually assaulted by people. Jesus Christ. We'd be like, no, it wasn't her. It was me, winky face. Fucking two candlesticks together, baby. Also, I have a lisp. That's new. Get Sam. Sherlock read it aloud to everyone, who quickly turned their attention to the child with disbelief on their faces.
"He didn't," Donovan said, mouth half open as she thought about how a child could possibly write all that. "He didn't write that. It's impossible. Yeah, how did he know that she raped him? He was fast asleep."
Sherlock rolled his eyes, annoyed at everyone. Of course he is. That's apparently his whole character in this story. He didn't know why he was annoyed. He just was. You're written that way. He got like that when something didn't make sense, so much so that it even confused him. "By the way," he said, looking at the kid, "she didn't rape you. She was just trying to put your diaper on."
"Yeah? Well, she was a bit touchy, wasn't she?"
"That's weird as fuck. What the hell?" The kid said, crossing his arms and looking at Donovan. He stared at her for a moment before looking down with shock, his mind processing the last part of what Sherlock said.
"Diaper,"
he said, standing up and toddling uncomfortably around, looking at the diaper.
"Why am I wearing diaper?"
"I'm so confused," John said before turning and exiting the room. I feel you, John. I just want to exit the room, too. Everyone had watched the back of the man, knowing he had just gave up. Fucking so set us all. Fucking mood, John.
"Where's my clothes?"
the kids yelled, holding his hands over his lower parts, even though it was covered by his diaper. This sounds like the worst episode that if you put it on TV, people would be like, what the fucking shit is that? And they would just hate their lives. I feel like that's some weird shit that they would put on TV, and people would be like, what the fuck am I even looking at? Like, it's just horrible. Lestrade stared at the kid as he went to a corner and turned away from everybody, presumably embarrassed about his lack of clothes. "He has an adult vocabulary," Lestrade mumbled. "Well, he has a Dean vocabulary. And most children don't mind being in diapers." "Well, no shit, but maybe he doesn't wear them. He's like 3. He's probably potty trained anyway."
"You want to know what else I have that's adult?"
the kid asked, still not facing them. Oh my god. Donovan covered her giggle, knowing what the kid was referring to. Oh, thank God, now she knows what a penis is. That's why she's giggling. She's finally part of the in-group. She's like, I know about penises now. "Who's Sam?" Sherlock asked, bending down to match the kid's height once again. The kid didn't turn to face him, but he didn't mind, knowing that the kid felt uncomfortably exposed.
"You know," the kid mumbled, "you kidnapped him."
"Kidnapped him?" Lestrade said, surprised. Of course, this wasn't the only surprising thing, but it was still surprising. Wow, he's more than once surprised? Multiply surprised. I didn't know it was possible. "Why would you say that?" he asked.
"You know,"
the kid started, but was cut off when the door swung open. John stepped into the room. Sherlock noticed right away that something was different. He looked angry and annoyed, not at all like himself. The kid jumped into Sherlock's arms, Sherlock holding him protectively, for some reason not trusting his best friend. "Give the kid here, Sherlock," John said, lowly. Everyone stared at him, confused. I'm good, John," Sherlock stuttered, feeling intimidated by his friend. John smiled. "Give him here," he said, looking like he was trying too hard to be happy.
"I just want to see him."
I mean, dude, you're doing a terrible job pretending you're not going to kill that kid. "John?" Lestrade asked, worried. John rolled his eyes and threw his hand up, Lestrade seeming to magically fling into a wall. Lestrade stayed there, panicking, floating against the wall. John's eyes turned completely black as he turned back to Sherlock. I would love it if he wasn't like a demon in disguise, but that actually was the power John had like the whole time. And he's like, "I've been a mutant all along. You know. I'd watch that. I'd watch the hell out of that." Still holding Lestrade in the air, Donovan started screaming, but John didn't look at her, knowing that she would faint from fright any second now.
"Not John,"
the kid said, as if he was used to this.
"Excorsimus tui, omnis immune spiritus, omnis santuanica protectus, omnis incursion adversari."
Sherlock backed up, turning with his back, facing John to protect the kid. What was wrong with John? Why were his eyes like that? Why was he trying to attack the kid? Like, dude... Sherlock is the smartest one, apparently, here. Just keep remembering that.
"Omnis legio, omnis congruita, et sectua diabolica."
The kid... I'm making him so obnoxious. The kid continued as John approached. Sherlock noticed that the kid seemed unfazed as he recited the words.
Equo dwaquo maledicte, equisium twam, sequi fasuus tuam, reputate severe.
The boy continued as Sherlock protected him. Lestrade heard what the kid was saying and tried to listen harder, but was unable to when he found his mind capable of processing only one thing at a time. Like, for example, that he was floating.
Twerogmus,
the kid smiled as John lifted his arm up to Sherlock's shoulders.
Adinos, bitcha.
Yep, bitcha, that's the... I hate it. Lestrade fell to the ground as John bent to his knees. Everyone watched with fear as black smoke bellowed out of John's mouth, finding its way to a vent and escaping the room. John fell to his stomach, unconscious. That is the end of chapter one, and it is also the end of Drunken Dangerous. Join me next time as we continue this fantastic story. Hopefully somebody murders baby Dean before he can continue to hurt anyone else with that horrible fucking accent. And I hope that you guys all join me back next time. All right, I will see you then, and I hope you have an amazing week. Bye, guys. Mwah.